Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. Couldn't figure out a more fitting way to open up the show today than I'm coming home. John Michael Ozzy Osbourne, deceased today at 76, born December 3rd, 1948, passed on today. Ozzy Osbourne, a musical icon. And looking into his life, which it's a shame that it takes something like this to really look into the young man and then man he was, who earned every single thing that he has in life. And looking at his early life, it's just astounding to the levels he rose to, not only in music, but as a person. You know, he was born in... Born to a mother and father. The mother worked in a factory. The father was a toolmaker at General Electric Company. He was born and raised in Aston, Birmingham, in England. He had three older sisters and two younger brothers. He earned the nickname Ozzy early on as a child. But again, his given name is John Michael Ozzy Osbourne. He... grew up in a small two-bedroom home. He dealt with dyslexia as a child in school. At the age of 11, he suffered a sexual abuse from school bullies, and he attempted suicide multiple times as a teenager. He left school at the age of 15, was employed as a construction site laborer, trainee plumber, apprentice toolmaker, car factory, horn tuner, and slaughterhouse worker. At the age of 17, he was convicted of robbing a clothing store, but was unable to pay the fine upon his conviction. His father, in a matter of tough love, refused to pay it in order to teach him a lesson, resulting in him spending 6 weeks in the Winson Green prison as a 17-year-old. At prison, he participated in some plays, and hearing the first single of the Beatles at age 14, he became a fan of the band and created... that had created their 1963 song, She Loves You, inspired him to become a musician. And his life is history from there. Did his stint, came out, started to become a musician in through multiple bands, ended up getting into Black Sabbath, which needs no introduction. And then his solo career after that. It's truly a loss to the musical world. He was no doubt a character, no doubt beat to his own drum, from the Prince of Darkness to his reality TV show with his family. It's an incredible loss to the music industry, and he just, Jake, when was his concert? He just had a concert that they say, you know, he kind of struggled through, but he definitely gave it his all.
It was July 5th.
July 5th.
Back to the beginning. Fittingly, in Birmingham, himself and Black Sabbath. And there were so many others that performed as well. I mean, we could go through the list. That would take all day. But Ozzy has battled Parkinson's, a form of Parkinson's, for close to 6 years now, I believe. And it was heart-wrenching. That rendition of Mama, I'm Coming Home. And, you know, it's... The way I look at it, Rob, and Kelly and I, we watched bits and pieces of that concert that night, and like we both agreed, and I said, I'm like, he doesn't look good, and I said it, I honestly don't know how much time he has left, and I'm glad that he was able to go out on his own terms. And like a lot of people have talked about on social media over the past 2.5 weeks, ever since that performance, and especially that performance of Mama, I'm Coming Home. But in some ways, I guess you could say he was kind of attending his own funeral, just didn't know it. Like that's the way that he wanted to be remembered. And I'm glad that he was given that opportunity to perform one last time, fittingly, where it all began back in the day. And the other person that I definitely want to mention, his wife, Sharon. Sharon was an absolute godsend to Ozzy. Obviously, the struggles that he had in the 70s with addiction, whether it was drugs, whether it was alcohol, obviously getting fired from Black Sabbath in 1979. And Sharon, as I said, she was a godsend. And they were lucky enough to have 43 years of marriage. They just celebrated 43 years of marriage on the 4th of July.
July 4th, 1982. Yes.
So he could remember it. And I loved watching the Osbournes when I was growing up, and I still remember. And oddly enough, a couple weeks ago on Tubi, reruns of the Osbournes had appeared, and Kelly and I have been watching them religiously over the past couple of weeks. And definitely one of my favorite artists, and definitely heartbroken, definitely teared up during Mama, I'm Coming Home. But at the same time, you look at Black Sabbath and you look at that solo career that he had afterwards, the early 80s, like I talked about, when he married Sharon. And then, of course, when Amy, Kelly, Jack, when their children came along. And also the other thing that comes to mind with 1982 and how much of a heartbreaking moment that was when Randy Rhoads was lost in that plane crash. So he and Randy, they're together again.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are indeed. So I gave free rein to Jake during the show today for the bumper music for the rest of the show. So I think you guys know what to expect. And Jake, let him have it when it's time.
Oh, definitely.
It's just looking at some text messages coming in that Paul Dallas... Ozzy was a working class hero. Birmingham in 1969 is parallel to the Wyoming Valley going through deindustrialization. He was a provocative, appreciative. Black Sabbath and Ozzy, legends, my favorite time, all-time band. And so, you know, you can send in your messages via text messages. You can call in. We're going to get to the regular news today. This was just breaking towards the end of Sue Henry's show. So, you know, went and looked at a couple stories that popped up, and just as I walked in the studio, I just pointed at Jake as I walked by his open door, and I said, "Mom, I'm coming home," in its entirety, right after the opening of the show. Got two thumbs up, and that was the end of that. So, and if you saw Jake through the window here that we have to look at each other, he was there with both devil horns up in the air at the end of that.
Got that right.
The end of that song. So fitting intro to our show, and
we'll have to see what we end with.
Exit to one of the greatest rock icons that will ever live, one of the greatest performers that will ever live, and he will go down in the icons of infamy when it comes to rock music, no doubt. It's 3:20 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Everyone's mission, if you choose to accept it, is to crank that song up as loud as you can on your way home from work today. Simple as that. Get those windows down, crank it up. Let everybody around you know what time it is. Simple as that. It's 3:23 here, 78 degrees on this Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. Let's go to the phone. We have Chad from Springbrook. Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
What an amazing freaking concert. I was there to hear the news this afternoon. Very emotional about the whole thing. It took me right back to being at the concert. I got to go with my son, who thankfully appreciated the music, and it was just, it was gut-wrenching, absolutely gut-wrenching.
Chad, how old is your son that you went to the concert with?
22.
Wow, and appreciated everything about it, right? That's great.
he really did, and I will tell you that the surprise performance for me was Youngblood playing Changes, which, you know, wasn't a huge Black Sabbath hit, but certainly on the ballad side, and Youngblood killed it, and it's been the only live song on release so far from the concert. I know you can get it on Spotify. It's unbelievable.
Jake, let's see if we can come up with that. Yeah, we're going to look to see if we can get it on there, too. But how was the environment there? To, you know, bring us into the concert. It's incredible that you were there.
Yeah, so... Yeah, you know, we planned for months in advance. You know, we were obviously hoping he would make it through, which he did. I personally, the weather was perfect. The environment in his hometown, in a soccer stadium, football stadium, sorry, over there, just absolutely unbelievable. Everybody was so in love with the music. Everybody was high-fiving each other. It was just, it was emotional right from the get-go and walking in. It was unbelievable. Fantastic.
I hope you still have the ticket stubs or the tickets to this event that you can now frame.
Yeah, we have some, well, they're digital, but it was a little different when you're going to a concert over in the UK. So it was a little bit different of a process, but I remember waking up at 5 a.m. No, actually, I think it was earlier. I think it was like 4 a.m. our time, 9 a.m. their time when the tickets went on sale, and I got like the last two in our section, and my son and I were just ecstatic. We're like, I can't believe we got tickets to this thing. And we're big Metallica fans, so that was how the whole conversation started. Hey, they're going to be part of this. And I kind of grew up more to Ozzy than Black Sabbath, but I just absolutely fan. The lineup there and the surprise guests, the Sammy Hagars, the Steven Tylers coming in, you know, these guys coming in doing a drum off with Chad Smith, and I can't even explain. If you look at setlist.com, the surprise guests that came in to support Ozzy and Black Sabbath were phenomenal. It was 10 hours straight of this. You couldn't leave your seat.
Wow, just an incredible experience. And it's great that you were able to share that with your son. I remember taking my dad to a Rush concert, and my dad was a big band jazz drummer, but loved Rush when we went to go see it, and fell in love with Neil Peart when you know, after the concert there. So you're bringing me back to a time with my own dad.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. And to see some of these bands that were, you know, maybe on my bucket list to see, and my son appreciate, you know, what they brought to the table. But everybody, every single band that was there, it was not about them. They did a couple of their own songs, and then they would do either a Black Sabbath or an Ozzy rendition. Fantastic. Even Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, they did Perry Mason. I mean, it didn't matter, male, female. They were fantastic the whole day.
Incredible. Did any band stick out for you, and looking back at it now?
I thought that Lamb of God, who I had not seen in person, was really, really good. But I think Slayer had done a couple of good Black Sabbath tunes, if I remember correctly. And, you know, they were just, I had never seen them in person either. So to see them do their original music and then pop right into, you know, an Ozzy or Black Sabbath hit was really good. But honestly, the sound was really good. I know there's some criticisms online, and I'm part of some Facebook groups because I went to the concert, but it was really fantastic. Weather was perfect. I thought the volume and everything was perfect, and I really hope, there's a rumor that they're coming out with the full live CD in 2026, and I certainly hope they do.
Yeah, no doubt. And you said the whole thing was about 10 hours long, huh?
Yeah, we started at 1 p.m. in the afternoon their time, and we didn't finish until 11-ish p.m. when, you know, Black Sabbath did their final couple of songs. It was, I mean, and the organization, how they did it from band to band was incredible. Rolling out the drum kit, having the curtain up. I mean, we got to see a lot of that in between, and maybe 10, 15 minutes in between each band, if that. I mean, it was clockwork. Whoever put this together, whether it was Sharon or a group of people, should be commended. And I'm sure that did not come through on the live stream to the same degree. It was pretty incredible being there in person.
I really appreciate you sharing this with us, Chad. It was a great, sounded like a great experience, and it'll be a memory that your son and you carry for the rest of your lives. You know, you were at Ozzy's last concert, a dedication to him.
Listen, I only called up because people in the area that are fans really need to tune in if anything gets released, because the live music, and the only one that I know of right now is Youngblood, and there's some other stuff on YouTube that was bootleg, but Spotify, I think, has the only one that was officially released, and this stuff is incredible. If you're a fan of any of these bands and you get your hands on any of the stuff that was their remake of Ozzy or Black Sabbath, you got to listen to it.
All right, Chad, I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners today, and thanks for your experience.
Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:37, 80 degrees on this Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025, as we say goodbye to a rock and roll icon, Ozzy Osbourne. Lost today at the age of 76, if you're just joining us. We'll be playing some dedicated music for the rest of the show. We spoke with Chad, who was just at his last concert in England, and just sounded like a phenomenal experience. I appreciate Chad for checking in with us and sharing that with us. You know, when Jake was screening the call, I saw his jaw drop, you know, when he started telling him that he was at the concert. So I didn't know what to expect when we got the call, but man, it was great, great call. And we were glad to find the song he was talking, one of the songs he was talking about here. I did get a text message about either a controlled burn or a wildfire up in Jessup on Moosic Mountain. That is a controlled burn. You know, I did look into it. There are signs posted that there will be a controlled burn. So if you're coming down 81 or on Route 6, the KC Highway, or in that area and you see smoke coming from the mountain there on the other side, the far side of the KC Highway, that is a controlled burn taking place. So we just wanted to get that information out there. I did see the smoke on my way in today and did note it. Couldn't tell exactly where it was from. It looked to the, you know, past the dump that was there as I was coming down 81 to the studio. But I did note that there was smoke coming from the sides of the hill there, and did get some text messages on it. We did look into it, and there are signs up there saying that there would be a control burn. So hopefully that gets you the information that you're looking for. And I texted it to that texter as well. Well, this news we got today, Jake, kind of takes the whole air out of this Rock in the River appearance, non-appearance controversy that's been going on today, where, you know, this band Low Cut Connie has been disinvited to Rock in the River, to an AC/DC tribute band that will be playing there. And if it's politics, if it's not politics, if it's, you know, they lean one side or lean the other side, the county has made the decision that music is to be enjoyed by all and for people to forget about politics for a change. And I don't know anything about Low Cut Connie.
Me neither.
I know the morning show had the county executive on, the county manager, Romilda Caracamo, and I know Sue Henry had on the singer for the band. So you can go back on our Odyssey app and check that out and see what's going on. But the passing of Ozzy Osbourne has kind of taken all the air out of the room for that controversy of Low Cut Connie. And listen, I don't know anything about the band. I never heard of the band till today. But it is the prerogative of the organizers for this event to do what's best for their county residents. If you don't agree with what they did, don't go to the event. If you do agree, go to the event. You know, I don't think how you can go wrong with an AC/DC tribute band, but I guess we will see. We will see what happens. We will see what happens there when it moves forward. So, just one of the stories today that quickly became a non-story, you know, when we get the news that someone like Ozzy Osbourne, who has definitely blazed his trail, and just looking at his, and you know, I feel bad not really knowing about his childhood and the things that he overcame and came through as a child, from dyslexia to sexual abuse in school to, you know, his father allowing him to go to jail to teach him a lesson, to where he picked up, you know, performing and then music and became a musician from that point on, and, you know, getting his life around, even though there was the ups and downs there as well. But I don't think anyone can take away the legacy that is Ozzy Osbourne at this point. It's 3:42 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:45, 79 degrees on this Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. Well, this story I already had on the schedule for today, from one music icon to another. Jimmy Buffett's widow is accusing the financial advisor of breaching their fiduciary duty in a $270 million trust battle. Jane Buffett has asked the judge to stop Richard Monzenter from trying to remove her as a trustee. I just hate when things like this happen. And unfortunately, in the music industry especially, this happens more than not. Jimmy Buffett's widow has accused her late husband's financial advisor of failing to administer the singer's multimillion dollar trust in good faith and ignoring what she believed was her best interest for the $275 million estate. Jane Buffett on Monday asked a judge in West Palm Beach, Florida, to stop Richard Monzenter from trying to remove her as a trustee and instead sought an order removing him from overseeing the estate, according to court papers. I don't think we need to get into who Jimmy Buffett was, but, you know, created Margaritaville Empire, popularized beach bum soft rock. He also died at the age of 76. His widow and Monzenter have since been embroiled in a battle over who controls the trust, with each accusing the other of mishandling funds in lawsuit filed in both California and Florida. The dispute is similar to another going on with the estate of the beloved singer Tony Bennett, where two of the late Croner's daughters sued their brother over his handling of the family trust. You know, when there's that much money involved and human nature, it definitely clouds. Unless there's a deep love for the wishes of the individual who's no longer there to voice his opinion, these things seem to get ugly. But Jane Buffett filing on Monday accuses the advisor of repeatedly breaching his fiduciary duty of failing to provide her with basic information about the trust's assets and its investments while taking unreasonable fees and costs in the context of services provided. On May 30th, Jane Buffett's lawyer provided Monzert's lawyer a copy of the Monzenter's lawyer with a copy of the petition they planned to file in Los Angeles Superior Court if he did not resign as co-trustee by June 2nd, the filing states. The advisor's counsel instead filed a petition on June 2nd in West Palm Beach seeking Buffett's removal as co-trustee, documents show. Jane Buffett's complaint was filed June 3rd in Los Angeles, where Monzenter is managing director of the Gelfin, Rennert, and Feldman LLC. Notably, Mr. Monzert only brought this and his other retaliatory baseless action after Ms. Buffett had informed him that absence his resignation, she would initiate litigation against him to seek his removal as co-trustee. Now, he claims that the lawsuit that Jimmy Buffett established a trust with Monzenter as an independent trustee because he was concerned about his wife's ability to manage and control his assets. The complaint filed Monday in Florida says the relationship between Jane Buffett and Monzenter is unattainable and asked the judge to remove Monzenter as co-trustee. Jane will not play into his hands by litigation this dispute in two separate courts across the country, which would drain the very trust money that Jimmy specifically set aside for her care. Instead, Jane is bringing the fight to Florida, where she and Jimmy called home. Jane is confident she will prevail regardless of where her claims are heard, and it's her decision to move her claim from California to Florida illustrates that she is the only co-trustee looking to conserve, not waste, trust assets, as per the lawsuit. So, troubling to hear, again, such a musical icon's estate, his memory, his family, going through this. But unfortunately, when that amount of money, $275 million, is involved, that's what happens. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Well, that road definitely leads to him now. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:55, 79 degrees. Another tragic death that we are mourning, and again, this was on the schedule since this morning to talk about, because, you know, we just talked earlier, late in the middle of last week, that police officer who was a Major League Baseball player turned police officer who was on vacation to Pawleys Island, South Carolina, about a half hour south of Myrtle Beach with his family. And a family of five got caught in a riptide and dragged out. And he ran in, heard his call for help, and ran in to save them, made sure each of them made it back to safety. But he himself, exhausted from that struggle, got pulled under and unfortunately died and was recovered 90 minutes later from Coast Guard patrols to find and recover him. And he lost his life in front of his own family, you know, acting like a hero. And then we have this story now of famed actor Malcolm Jamal Warner, otherwise from the Theo from the Cosby Show, best known as, especially for people from our generation, was caught in a riptide in Costa Rica and lost his life while on vacation down there. And, you know, here in Northeast Pennsylvania, we deal with rivers, we deal with lakes. You know, we oftentimes go to the ocean for our vacations or for our long weekends and such, but you really need to know how to read and deal with these riptides. Unfortunately, here's another tragic loss of life from another, you know, actor icon, Malcolm Jamal Warner. There is no fighting Mother Nature when it comes to these things. And I'm no lifeguard expert, but, you know, I have had the training on swift water rescue and such. And these riptides, you're dealing with a force that you cannot even compete with or even try to. Best thing you can do, especially if you're going to go into the situation like this off-duty police officer, former Major League Baseball player did to save these people, is if you can grab something, some sort of flotation device and get out there with it. And if you make it to whoever's there, give it to the weakest swimmers that are there to stay afloat and instruct them, you know, don't fight it. Don't try and swim against it. Let it take you out. There will be help coming. Stay afloat. Don't exhaust yourself trying to fight something that you very rarely have the ability to combat or overcome. There are training videos out there how to deal with that. If you are going to places along the shore, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, South Carolina, North Carolina, I mean, the beaches are renowned for this, even down in the Gulf. You know, I've seen horrendous riptides that are very, if you know what you're looking for, very easy to see. But sometimes they just pop up. And if you're already in the water and you're not looking at it from the outside, it's hard for you to see or tell until you're already swept out in it. I've had them knock me right off my feet. Thankfully, I was in such shallow water, you know, I could get out of it. But if you're in water up to your neck or above, you're really not going to fight the power of the ocean. So if you're going on these trips with your family, if you're going to be in areas where there's riptides, have the conversation with your kids. Have the conversation with your family. Hey, if something happens, stay afloat. If you need to go in to help someone, if you're going to make that choice, and I'm saying you should if you have the ability to, if you can grab something that floats, some sort of flotation device, and use it yourself to get out there and then share it or give it to the weakest swimmer while you all just float out. Doesn't matter if you go out hundreds of yards or a mile. There will be assistance coming to you. If the people on shore know that you're in distress, they will call. Boats will come. Helicopters will come. These areas are all patrolled. Don't try and fight it. Just do your best to survive. And that's by basically treading water and staying afloat and keeping the people around you calm. It's hard to do. I get it. But we've seen just in this past 7 days, two instances of tragedy when it comes to riptides, which is why we have this little PSA. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.